Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks again for hanging out with me. And as always, you know, before I start every single podcast, I always like to take a few moments to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, motivated, and inspired to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. I pray that in Jesus' name. So thank you so much for hanging out with me, guys. And listen, as always, you already know I always bring on the most amazing guests on the planet. And this week is no different, man. Today, I have one of the world's greatest coach for the highly committed, the Reverend of the Revolution, husband and father, mentor to entrepreneurs and executives, speaker, trainer, best-selling author, and Super Bowl champion, my dog, my man, my brother, Seta Magali. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Jose, great to do that. What an intro, man. I love it, man. Thank you so much. I'm honored. I am truly honored and grateful to be here with you, man. So thank you for having me today.
Nah, man, it's a pleasure. I've been excited and waiting for this one for a little while already, man. So thanks for hanging out with me and my audience.
You got it, man.
So listen, man, for those of us that are listening, you know, that don't know who you are or don't know anything about you, for those that are watching also, we're going to talk about this a little later on, but man, you look like The Rock. I'm pretty sure you get that a lot. You sound like him, but we're going to dig into that. But before we get into that, man, tell everybody about the young Setima and some of the things you went through and how you were able to develop that champion mindset that you have today with everything that you've been through.
Yeah, you got it. It's a great question. Look, champion mindset. I have a brand called the Circle of Champions. I got the shirts, the banners, like we got the whole shebang. And you know, it all goes back to, for me, having a clear picture or a vision of what you want. Like, I just know when I was younger, I remember seeing all the kids with dad, I never had Jordans when we grew up kind of poor, rich in love, and we had food in the roof, but we did not have the material things. And I remember just saying, like, man, I want what those kids have. And then it became, I want to be great on the field. And I wanted, and you know, sometimes people say wanting is bad. I'm like, man, God gave us desires of our hearts. Like, we have a natural desire for things. So developing the championship mindset starts with, like, what do you really want? And why does that matter? Like, what do you want? And why does it matter? And early on, I wanted to get a scholarship. I wanted to play college ball. I wanted to get to the NFL. And more than the NFL, I wanted to impact, I wanted to change lives. Because my life was changed by a ninth grade teacher, and I actually wanted to be a teacher. Uh-huh. So developing mindset, being a champion, it starts with, like, what do I want? Like, what do I want to have for my life? And I remember him looking at me, and he's like, Setima, what do you want with football? This was ninth grade, 14 years old. He said, Setima, what do you want? I was like, I want to start. And so we went through that, and I started building this vision. So, you know, for the audience, it's like, what do you want? You know, who do you want to be? How do you want to live in the future? What schools do you want to put your kids through? How do you want to experience life on a daily basis? What does the happiest or best version of yourself look like? These questions just begin to create clarity, and man, from there, that's where the beginning of a championship mindset takes place.
Nice. Awesome. So fast forward. So you graduate high school, you go into college, you play college ball.
Yeah, graduate high school. In high school, again, I'll take you back, seventh and eighth grade, low self-esteem. Like, I had zero self-esteem.
Why is that? What'd you have low self-esteem about?
You know, my folks got divorced when I was in fourth grade. That really shook our family. There was five of us. So there's seven kids. Five of us were living with my mom at the time. We're going back and forth. We were in a little two-bedroom apartment. I'm a single mom.
Wow.
And I had one pair of jeans.
Wow.
That had a hole in the knee. I didn't have the brand clothes. Everyone was wearing Quicksilvers back then, and Jabot, all the brand names, right? Jordans, Reeboks. I didn't have that stuff. And I just wasn't, I didn't have a good concept of myself. Freshman year of high school, though, age 14, it changed. I came to know who I really was. I began to pray. I began to read scriptures. I began, like, my entire world changed. And it grew. So by the time I was a senior in high school, I was a student body president, captain of the football team, basketball, track was enough. I mean, I was eating life up. So that momentum carried to college. Got to college.
Hold on, real quick. What changed for you from middle school into high school? What that shift that took place mentally, what changed?
Yeah.
And how did you make that change?
Great question. I'll tell you, man, and I can, since you prayed to start this off, I'm going to go there. Ninth grade, I was in a what we call seminary. I was learning about the gospel.
Okay.
And my teacher challenged me to read the Book of Mormon and the Bible, and he challenged me to pray every day, every morning and every night. So my ninth grade year, I got on my knees almost every, some days I forget because it wasn't a habit. I would get on my knees at my bedside. It was kind of weird because I like brothers. I don't want them to think I'm, you know, trying to be all spiritual. But I get on my knees and I pray to God. And if I was walking to school and I forgot, I'd pray to God. And as I was running, I remember I lived in Utah at the time. I'm running. I see the mountains for conditioning. I pray to God. I started to pray. And I started to read scriptures. And I started to go to church. And I started to immerse myself into God. And when I came to know that I was the son of God.
That's powerful.
Once I saw that, I was like, dude, I was born to succeed. Wow. I am meant for a greater purpose. I have a calling. I have some, it was way more than just brand shoes and cars and stuff, right? It became purpose and mission driven.
That's right.
And I am so thankful because that shift in my identity, uh-huh, right, it worked for me. Like I was like, I'm a son of God. I'm a disciple of Christ. Like, and I'm the creator of my life, which means I can go be great. I can be whatever I want. I developed those seeds of what I call deity, like give greatness. And then I started setting goals. And then, you know, all of a sudden senior year, I'm a student body president. I'm cat football, scholarship, acapella. I'm just so happy. Like I was fire. Like, so yeah, I was on fire. And it was because I felt like I turned my life to God. I gave me to God.
Awesome. Awesome. And then you get to college, you're playing ball in college, and then.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So I get to college, carry the momentum over, have a great freshman year red shirt. I go take 2 years off for a mission from my church. So I like again devoted to God, giving God the best of my life. I come back from a mission and I go 4 years at BYU, Brigham Young University. My last 2 years, I was a starter. Sack leader, all conference, captain of the team. Again, just riding momentum, right? Nice. Life is amazing. And then that takes me to the NFL. And I tell you, like this championship mindset, right? This mindset, I developed at an early age or, you know, in my teens and into college, a mindset that was like, I don't have to be the fastest. I'm definitely not the fastest. I'm not the strongest. Definitely one of the quickest. But I will outwork you. I will outprepare you. I will out-hustle you. I will outgrind you. And you can count on that. And I remember just outworking dudes. I was beating dudes who had more chips and more stars and more all that stuff. I was never that, but I developed this mindset like there's a prize that I want. Like again, go back to the thing that I want. I want this thing.
That's right.
I'm going to pay the price for it. And I'm going to pay the price every day. And I'm going to be in love with this future. This is going to pull me to do the work, to sacrifice, to pay a price, to work hard, to pay the investment, financial, physical, sweat, blood, tears, spirit. I'm going to pay the price and you can't stop me from doing that. And that's how it all developed.
You know, and that's why I like bringing guests like you on the show, you know, because it's called I Won't Stop Until I Win. And I want to show people like, what does it take to win? And continue winning in life. And it takes, like you said, it takes that grind. It takes that sacrifice. It takes that commitment. It takes that being prepared, right? It takes that hustle. And so I like to extract that from all of my guests because a lot of times people will see you and be like, oh, wow, Sedema, he, you know, Super Bowl champion, you know, very successful. But they don't know the grind that you had to put in. They don't know the hustle that you had to put in, the sacrifice, the commitment, you know, putting God first and even dealing with that in the type of society that we live in and being courageous enough and bold enough to even speak about that topic alone is very powerful. So I appreciate you sharing that with me, man. So you get into the NFL. How is that feeling, man? Like, what's your mindset? Like, are you like, I made it, I arrived, like I'm here. Like, what's that whole like energy about?
Oh, man. So the NFL is a whole different beast, right? When I got up there, it was later in the season because I had a shoulder injury I was working through. I got picked up by the Patriots and right, just an undrafted rookie. And I was nervous. I'm like, like it's these are NFL guys. And then I kind of forgot who I was. We all kind of forget, like, what's that?
Did you feel intimidated?
Oh, I felt very intimidated. I felt like, man, do I belong? But all it took was for me to put a helmet and pads on, one play, one rep, and I was like, oh, it's just this.
I know this.
I got this. I was beating dudes. I was punishing dudes. I was beating the starters. I'm like, okay. And I mean, I was getting beat too, right? So once I got there, it wasn't like I've arrived. It was like, okay, I had goals. If you look at my goals, I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to be an all pro. I wanted to be a hall of fame. I set enormous goals. That's how I've always been.
Yeah.
It's the bigger the goal, it drives you to rise.
It pulls you.
Become someone. And I had a very, very short career, like probably the shortest career of careers. I did get a ring. I got a Super Bowl ring. And then I retired. Then I finished. And it was like 2003. So I won the first Super Bowl with the Patriots. And that was an incredible experience. I'll tell you, like, the work required to get to the NFL, to be picked, to get picked up, the work required to win, and then the work required to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win the Super Bowl. Like, brother, it is, you know, people don't really understand. I think we just take it for granted when you watch. But I see NBA champions, NASCAR champions, Major League Baseball, NFL. Like, I know, like, you're the best in the world. You are the best. And it takes something special to get that.
Absolutely. You have to be, man. You have to, like you said, you have to be able to outwork everybody else that has the same goal as you to be the champ, right? So you got to be able to have that champion mindset and outwork everybody and put that practice in and that hustle and that grind. That's amazing, man. So you get to the Super Bowl, you get to the NFL, you Patriots, love the Patriots. You win the Super Bowl, and then something drastic happens.
You know, for me, it was, I couldn't stand up straight. I couldn't walk. Like, I couldn't. And I was, like, getting shots. And, you know, spiritually, when you just know, like, you've done everything you can. And I was praying to God, God, if it's not football, let me know. So I got some shots. I got released. I come home. I go back out in the spring to give it one more shot. My agents, they're sharp, right? They're the same agents as Tom Brady, like the best of the best. I go back out in the spring of 2003 and I practiced one practice and I was done. I knew it. Like spiritually, I got the confirmation, like I'm done. This is not my thing anymore. Okay, God, what do I do? And you talk about drastic. I go home depressed for about a week, eating ice cream, watching. I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was ashamed. I was like, I felt like I failed. I felt like I failed everybody. The truth was I hadn't, but that was a story I made up. So I kind of lollygagged for about 8 months, like do nothing. I was broke. I, like all the money I made, gone. Like just broke. Didn't manage my money well. And in 2004, January, I set some goals to go. I was in the mortgage industry at the time. And I set a goal to go make, the big money. Don't know what the heck a mortgage is. Don't know anything about business. And it's like someone listening right now. Like you might be brand new in your industry, but I took what I did in football and I applied it to mortgages. That year, same thing. I became a student. I took notes. I hired mentors and coaches. I was grinding and hustling, and I just hustled. Like that word hustle, like it really, people today, they think they're working hard. You think you're working hard until you go work with someone who's working hard and you recognize real quick, I'm not working hard. It's like people today who think they're utilizing their time efficiently. And so they can spend time with me and they're like, they see that I maximize every minute of my day, whether I'm in meditation, whether I'm grinding on a specific, what we call a high value target, from my exercise to my meals, to my supplementation. Like I just got this bam, 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 because I'm clear about what I want. So jumping in the mortgage industry, bro, we start crushing it. Like brand new luxury cars, Range Rovers, Escalades, Mercedes, S-Classes, big brand new homes, properties all over the country. We're like, yeah, I'm like, woohoo. And then, the mortgage collapse of 07, 08 happens.
Yeah.
And I was not ready. Look, we had a ton of money in the account. I had office space, teams, leases, properties, mortgages, overhead. I had it all. And I was like, oh, we're good. Anything I touch turns to gold. I had that mentality.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for the recession. I had no clue. And when I say we lost, you know, we had an 8,000 and a 6,000 square foot. These were our personal homes, had properties and rental properties and units and land. We lost it all.
Wow.
When I say lost it all, like our cars got repossessed. Our properties got foreclosed. I was so shell-shocked. I drained our business accounts, my personal accounts, our save. I drained everything to keep my business going, which was the wrong move. That's why when this COVID happened, I told people, make your cuts, prepare, because you got, when the economy comes back, you got to have money in there. You got to be able to be back in business. After about 18 months back then, I went out of business, kicked out of our home, foreclosed, all everything. In 2009, we were so broke. We were on food stamps, EBT. Like we went from multiple
I read that in your bio. That's yeah. What you said, EBT, that's code word for welfare.
Yeah, dude, we went from multiple seven figures to EBT, getting kicked out of our home. And I couldn't figure it out. 2009, literally, we have no money. We're struggling to pay our rent. Thank goodness the landlord was so gracious. He never charged us the late fee. We're in a 900 square foot townhome. We went from 6,000 and 8,000 square feet to 900 square feet.
Wow.
My father-in-law bought us a car. I was so depressed and so sad. I was just like shocked. I wasn't making any money. So I had one thing that had value and it was my Super Bowl ring. And my wife drives me to the airport. I'm bawling. I'm angry at God. I'm angry at, I'm like, why, Lord God, why? Fly to New York, cry like a baby. Get to New York, in the airport, give him my ring. He gives me the cash. I come home and I give up my ring. The cash that I got was going to be to help me start my business. Didn't know what the heck I was doing. A year later, I'm standing in front of a bankruptcy judge. Like, I remember thinking, what if I just like take my life? I had crazy thoughts. And so that's why I have so much empathy for people.
Wow.
When they talk about depression and talk about feeling pity and being in the pit of despair and the pits of darkness, I was there for years back in 08, 09, 2010. So we filed a bankruptcy in 2010, 10 years ago. Actually, 10 years ago to this month. It's so crazy.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking to myself back then, this is not who Satema is. This is not what I was born to do. I am going to trust God. I'm going to take all these afflictions and challenges, and they're going to serve me. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do it. 2011, we're now like 3.5 years into this poverty. Could not get out. And I get recruited to go knock doors as a door-to-door salesman. I'm in my mid to late 30s.
Wow.
I had so much ego and pride. I was like, nah, I'm good. And he asked me one question. He says, how much money do you need to make in 4 months? Because knocking doors was a four-month gig. It was April into May into June and July into August, like about 4 months, 18 to 20 weeks. And I was afraid of practice. I was afraid to do it, and I was embarrassed. I'm like, I'm not a door. Dude, I'm a million. I've been a seven-figure. I'm a speaker. I'm a Super Bowl champion. Yeah, God was like, oh, no, you need to go knock. So with all the humility that I was forced to be humble, I fly to South Carolina to go knock doors. And that summer, I looked at my wife before I left, and she got rid of our little townhome, which we were renting. She brings the family out like 6 weeks later, and I said, I promise you, I'm going to outwork everybody. I'm going to work so damn hard that we're going to get out of this poverty we've been in. And that summer of 2011 was so special because I learned how to work again. I learned how to sell. Like, it's full 100% commission. You don't sell, you don't make any money.
Yeah.
And I was a man on fire. I was a man on a mission. God was with me. I learned how to grind again. I learned a skill called sell. I was the hardest working dude on the planet because we had to make our money in 20 weeks.
Yeah.
And that year, that summer, I knocked in South Carolina and Georgia. And do you understand? Like, 6 days a week, that's all I'm doing. So I get up, I study, I go to correlation, get dropped off in a neighborhood. Nobody knows me. And then you got to go close deals.
Yeah.
Sell, install. Saturday, 8 in the morning till dark 30. Sunday's the only day off. Brother, that changed my life. Like, it changed everything. I worked so hard. I'll never forget July of 2011. So we're cranking. I'm rolling. And I'm sucking down Red Bulls and Monsters and no workout. It was like knock doors, study, knock doors. That's all I'm doing because I got to go make six figures. My goal was I got to go make six figures in 4 months. That was my goal. I was like, if I can't make six figures, it will not be worth it. So July is like July 20th. My wife calls me up and I'm like, what's up? She never calls because she knows I'm working. And she's like, she's crying. She's like, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing this job. It feels so good to be able to go to Target, Walmart, and not worry about what I can or cannot buy.
Wow.
That fueled me. I was just so driven. I was a man on a mission. And that first summer when we drove home from Georgia, we were driving, you know, my little family, we were driving home. It was like my heart was so filled with gratitude because it's like God knew that's what Satema needed. I needed to go grind, just grind. Like, no,
he was refining you.
What's that?
It's almost like he was just refining you.
Oh, brother, it was a pure refinement.
And there's nothing better too than getting that type of affirmation and that phone call from the woman that you love, that's the mother of your children and your family, and she's kind of like telling you, thank you for putting us back, you know, where we need to be. That must have felt like the most amazing thing. That probably felt better than winning the Super Bowl, maybe.
It was up there, no doubt about it. Like, I still remember I was in like Sandersville, Georgia. It was a small town. Gnats are eating me up. It's 100 degrees. I'm sweating like a pig. But that phone call from her, it meant so much. It was like, and we only had two kids at the time. So we drive home. I slept for like 2 weeks straight. I just slept. I was so fatigued. I was so burned out, but we made the money. And 2012, I went and recruited a big team and sold again in Texas. 2013, I went and built my team bigger, sold in Iowa in 2013. And so now we've got a beautiful home. You know, I mean, life is amazing. And again, I talk about the voice. I heard the voice. I was in Bakersfield, California, driving a little Scion Orange XB with the little, I mean, I was like a Scion box car. I'm a door-to-door pro. And the voice was like, it's time. It's time to go do what you were called to do. And it was like the doors, that grind, that was like my last stop before I came to this. And this is my calling, right? As a coach, as an influencer, as a thought leader, as a consultant, as a speaker. So in October 2013, I left the doors. Well, I officially left in January. Like, I was still knocking, but I started this down this path. And like today, right, 5 years ago, we made the move to Southern California. I live, you know, 10 minutes from the beach. I have amazing clients that I love. I mean, this is what I do. I change lives. I inspire. I coach. I put my hands on someone and I shape and mold, just like God did to me, like molding me and just shaping the clay and heating it and cooling it. And you know, I'm married, happily married with three beautiful boys. I get to speak on big stages alongside guys like Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Damon John. And I'm just so happy, man. Like, I love it. And, you know, people like say, oh, I'm going through adversity. I'm losing everything because of COVID. I'm like, good. Adversity will shape you. It will help you to be really committed to the thing that you want. It will help you to be so clear about the life that you want. It will help you to be at your very best. And I'm just telling you now, like, no matter what people are going through, I've been through some fire, man, from losing everything, being bankrupt. So I don't have my ring back yet. He won't sell it back to me. I've started new industries, new businesses, and I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy today. So grateful.
You're on fire, man. And you know, one of the things that I love about your spirit, man, is just your authenticity, your transparency, and your vulnerability, man. To say that, you know, just to share your story, you know, you were on top and then you were on the bottom and now you're working your way, you know, now you're back on top again. And you're like, you're okay with going through the process. And that's what I love, man. And you know, sometimes even for me, like being in a wheelchair, people, they always ask me like, man, you're always smiling. How can you have a smile on your face knowing that you got to wake up and get in a wheelchair? And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that once you know who you are and whose you are and what your purpose is and your potential, that just changes the whole game for the rest of your life. You know, it gives you that fire and that drive that makes you want to get up excited. Like, I'm pretty sure you're the same way. Like, I don't need to wake up and listen to something motivational or have somebody motivate me. I just wake up and I'm grateful to be alive. And that alone, man, and seeing my wife and my kids, that alone just gives me the fire that I need to push through every day and max out.
100% agree with you, man. I'm when I close my eyes, I'm off. Keep my eyes open, and I don't sleep with my phone near my bed. I don't have an alarm clock. When I get up, it's go time, and I go and I get turned on, and like you, I've got these dreams and this ambition, and a lot of it's not just around stuff. It's around like what you do. It's around impacting lives.
That's right.
It's around touching hearts and souls. It's around helping people get results. It's around like helping people become their greatest self. And like, to me, that drives me. Like, that just, and to be an example, to be a beacon of light, not just to people who don't know me, but to my wife and to my sons.
That's right.
To show them, this is how a man does life. This is how a real man provides and loves and is patient and corrects. And yeah, I'm just like you, man. I love life, man.
It's what a real champion looks like.
Amen, baby. Yeah, amen. Amen.
So let's just pivot real quick into some of the awesome things that you're doing. So when I was on your website, I saw you have the Titan, you have the Shield Maiden, you do one-on-one coaching, you do consulting. Let's talk about the first two that I mentioned, because those girls look look intense, bro.
Bro, they are so intense. So it's called immersion, right? For the men, we call it Titan immersion, and for the women, we call it Shield Maiden, right? The Titan of industry, these godlike creatures. Shield Maiden, these powerful Viking queens, right, who were leaders, they could lead with beauty, and they could put on the sword, go to war, win, come back and lead. And so we created immersion because what I found a handful of years ago was, it's kind of where I was. It was like, I needed to wake up. It's like I was living life, but I wasn't living my fullest calling, and I wasn't like on the bottom. Now I had money in my account. I was killing it, sales and coaching, but I needed something where I could talk to people who are already in business, who are already kind of almost what I would call maybe like either a midlife crisis, or just like, dude, I want to go to the next level, or I'm killing it in one area of life, but I'm killing it in business, but my physicality is, my spirituality is non-existent. My relationships, I'm on the verge of divorce or on the rocks. Like,
yeah.
And so we built immersion for the person who was like, I want to go get aligned with all four and raise the bar, raise the standard. And that's intense, right? It's intense. Like, grown men and grown women, they cry. They bawl.
I know. I've seen it.
We shake them so much, literally and physically and metaphorically. Like, I tell guys, it's like we cut someone open. We get you to be real about where you are and about what you don't like and what's not working. Like, real. You know, like in our space, with the thought leader space, the influencer, it's all like, hey, it's good, child, hey. But man, you want to transform someone's life. You cut them open. You get real. You get them to put light on the darkness that they've been hiding under. Like, oh, I don't want anyone to know this. And we've helped hundreds hundreds and hundreds of men and women from around the world transform. So that's immersion, right? And that's physical, spiritual, relational, financial. And bro, one of the greatest lessons is people realize that they can do way more than they think they can. Way more. And I know you know this because you do way more than people think they can if they're in a wheelchair. But that's one of the biggest lessons. It's like we have unlimited power inside of us if we learn how to tap it and create it and like utilize the energy and power. That's one of the biggest lessons from immersion. And I mean, dude, did you see a grown man or grown woman ball just and like change their, like just completely pivot and shift and change new trajectory? Man, it's so awesome. Oh, it's so
fun. Yeah. And that's how me and you connected actually through our good buddy, Nate. Nate Bailey, I know he's all into that type of stuff, man. And
yeah. Oh, dude, Nate is an animal. You know, it's crazy. I coached Nate 5 years ago, and I asked, hey, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to do what you do, change lives. I was like, cool. And he did. And he paid a price, and he sold his business. And, you know, he's one of my business partners, and he's our lead coach. He coaches our clients, and he, in immersion, like, my man is.
I've seen him in the videos, man. Shout out to Nate, man, if you're listening, brother.
Lethal. My man is lethal, man. I'm like, I'm a coach, and I'm like, man, if I was, I'd be scared right now. Like, he's amazing. Like, Coach Nate really, truly has a gift, and he's utilizing his gift. That's immersion. You know, I have one-on-one coaching. It's really, one-on-one coaching is really for a very highly committed, very specific person. And it's significant, six-figure investment. And then we have, like, what we call our champions huddle, which is, our monthly, it's $47 a month. So we've got this range where I can reach people here. I can reach people here. I can reach people here. And I think the thing that I pride myself on probably the most is that we live what we teach, man. Like we live. Okay. I live what I teach, what we call ATMs and a coach's corner. And, you know, it's like I got my journal here in front of me. I journal, I have goals, I have practices and meditation. Like we have an entire curriculum and system for living your greatest life and living your calling. And it's so fun, man. I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then, so I'm assuming that the Shield Maiden is pretty much just the opposite of the immersion.
Well, so no, Shield Maiden, we call it Shield Maiden Immersion and Titan Immersion. So they're both immersion programs.
Okay.
Shield Maiden is for the women. And Titan is for the men. So they're both immersion. But, you know, people are like, why don't you do them together? Because I'm like, the things when a man, like when a man wants to wake up and like get real, we don't put him with women. We put him with other men who are going through the same sedations, addictions, lies, betrayal, all those things that a dude, like, and alphas, like immersion's for the alpha.
Yeah.
Like the alpha who's the boss, the executive, the person who's in charge. That alpha needs a place where he or she can come and be real and be raw and be vulnerable. So that's what we built immersion. And it's fun to see these guys who run 40, 50, 100 million, $10, $5 million companies show up and just get real. Because on Instagram and Facebook and the platforms and the stages, we're always polished up. We're always putting our best foot forward.
That's right.
But where's the place where you can come and just like open up and be like, man, you know what? This is how I feel. And it's the truth, dude. The stuff dudes been hiding for, or women, they've been hiding for years.
Yeah, man.
And I love it. It's just such a, it's a blessing.
That's the beautiful part about opening up. Because when you do that, what you're in essence saying that you're ready to do is let people see the real you. And sometimes you even need to see the real you. And you only can do that by opening yourself up. I think that's powerful, my brother. Powerful. So, man, listen, you have such an amazing story, man. And you know, just again, thank you for taking the time out to hang out with me. When I was looking, doing my research on you and just digging a little deeper, I was like, wow, I want to have this guy on my show, man, because he just has all right, let's address the elephant in the room, too, because I almost forgot about this. So you look like The Rock, you sound like The Rock, you even have like a little chuckle like The Rock.
Give you some man! Oh, what The Rock is. I mean, yeah, I get it all the time, man.
Are you guys related or anything? Or?
Not related at all. No, you know, the only relation is through, right? We're both Samoan. It's cool, man, because everywhere we go, people everywhere.
Have you ever met him?
I've not met him yet. You know, one day I'll meet the cat and give him a big hug. And I'm proud. Like, I love that he's doing it at such a big level. He's one of, you know, like, people of ethnicity, like we take pride when one of our people's doing it big.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love The Rock. Like, my boys love The Rock. He's the guy. He's, you know, he's the, what does he say? You know, what is he called? The jabroni beating, pie eating, eyebrow raising, trail blazing. I mean, so I love it, man. Yeah.
Like one of my own, right? It's one of my own. Our own is making it big, you know? Something to be proud about. Absolutely, man. So you're married, you have 3 children now, happily married, not only surviving, thriving, you know, thriving again, and not only in your marriage, but in life. You have 3 amazing young sons. I see you all the time on social media, hanging out with them. That's just so beautiful, man. So I know a lot of people like to say, how do you balance work life, personal life? And you know, people like you and I, we know that there is really no balance. Because when you're with your family, you're just all in with your family. When you're in your business, you're just all in. So you're just all in at whatever moment you're in, right? But as we wrap up here, Setima, for that person that's listening, not only to your story, you know, and those that know my story, but I just like bringing in powerful stories like the one you shared. For that person that's listening right now, and they may be, you know, coronavirus has a lot of people messed up right now. There's a lot of people that are jacked up. People lost their jobs, companies closing, businesses scaling back, you know, and that person that's listening, that may be feeling depressed, maybe having suicidal thoughts, maybe feeling unworthy, maybe feeling, you know, unqualified, and like you did, having to start all over, right, from scratch, because maybe they're losing everything or maybe they lost everything. What would you tell that person that's listening right now to keep on going, that's going to help them to keep on going and not stop until they win again?
I would tell that person, like, don't give up. And know that these very difficult times, challenging, bankrupt, losing everything, selling the suit, all these times they're going through now, they're simply preparing you, number one, to see if you're serious about going to that next level. And number two, they're preparing you and building you so you have the competency and the skills, the tenacity, the resilience to go to the next level. That's like, right. I'm not here without the doors. There's no way I'm doing what I do now unless I fail, hit the bottom, file the bankruptcy. I'm not here because everything shaped me to be powerful and effective as I am today. Like, the reason why I listen to you is because you're overcoming and you've overcome the adversity. When I see someone who's like, they've easy life, I'm like, what you gonna teach me? You can't relate to me. You don't know me. But when I hear people who have lost everything, who've lost loved ones, who've gone through divorce, overcome it, and now happily married, who lost businesses, when I hear those, that inspires me.
That's right.
And there's no way that I'm here without going down this almost treacherous, crazy, lonely, dark path, because it's brought me here to Southern Cal doing what I do. So the person who's listening, please don't give up. Don't give up. Trust, and just if you'll just keep going, and pray to God, hire the mentors, just keep going. It's like Dory and Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. Like, if you'll just do that, you'll get there. And there's no one answer. There's like tenacity, commitment, dedication, overcoming, pray. There's so many things that come together, but when you don't quit, just like rule number 5 for us, never give up. If you just won't give up, you'll get there. I'm telling you, my greatest achievements have only come because of my adversities. That's what I'm sharing.
Awesome, man. Well, there you have it, folks. You heard it from the man himself. Don't give up, because the other side is waiting for you to show up. Love it, man. Love it. Listen, Setima, where can people find more about you if they want to, you know, get some one-on-one coaching, or they want to, you know, sign up for the Titans or the Shield Maiden, or just maybe, you know, look into you, man. Where can they find you on social media, or give them all that information?
You know, I would say this. Go to my site, setemagali.com, setemagali.com. And on there is, again, my podcast. I got a podcast. I've got Immersion Titan Shield Maiden. We got the Champions Huddle. We got a 30-day Champions Challenge, which leads into the huddle. We've got just everything's there, one-on-one coaching. And I would tell people, when you find that mentor or that spokesperson, that person that's the right person for you at the right time for where you are, you follow them, you consume them. I may not be it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You might be, and you may not be, but so-and-so might be. So you just got to be open. And when, you know, for me, every person I've ever hired, and you know, like you, I've invested a lot of money in myself. When it's right and you know it, and you may not even have the money, you just know, I'm going to go find the money because I'm supposed to pay this person. Every person I've ever invested in followed, man, and I listened, changed my world. So there's no accident that I'm here, and there's no accident you're there. So yeah, go to my site, satevanlive.com. Everything's there. My social media links all there. And if there's anything I can do to help you, if you're listening to this, please don't hesitate to reach out. Me and my team, we respond quickly, and we would love to help people or point people in the direction that they need to go.
Absolutely, man. Love it, man. Thank you so much. And I'll be sure to drop all those links or your website link in all the in the description as well when we drop this podcast, which will be in about 2 weeks. But man, listen, Satema, I thank you so much again for hanging out with me and my crew, my audience, man. I pray that you have an amazing rest of your year, blessed year, and that you just keep climbing all the way to the top, because I'm going to see you there. And I hope that everybody else that's listening and watching will see you there as well. So until next week, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.